Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host Doug Bentley. Tonight, during the first half of our show, open mic night as we delve into the cosmic wonders of the universe that have fascinated humanity forever. From astrology to astronomy, man on the moon or soon Mars. We're taking your phone calls at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. And then during our second half, the seven-figure life, how to leverage the four focus factors for more wealth and happiness. An encore presentation interview with Noah St. John. Now, here's your Global Village Radio host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome to the show, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you again tonight. Wherever you are in the world listening to the Global Village International Radio Show, we are grateful that you're here. We have sort of a timely show tonight as the American government has just opened a website. It's aaro.mil, and it's talking about those anomalies, UFOs they used to be called, and now they're called something else. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, but that was just released today. So that's breaking news here on the Global Village Radio Show. We're also going to talk, as we put out in the news bulletin today, about those times in history when there have been movements in the heavens that have related to things that were about to happen in the world. And so we're asking you to call in tonight with your observations or your curiosities of these past events, you know, these heavenly omens, if you will, as to when they appeared and what corresponded or happened in the world. The number to call is 718-766-4421. I'm joined tonight with my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, who's an educator and minister and a longtime associate here as the co-director on the show. Welcome to the show, Doug. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
We're looking tonight towards, you know, those anomalies and those things that have happened in the past, heavenly bodies from, you know, the Star of Bethlehem, for instance, the Great Comet of 1811, solar eclipses in ancient China, and supernova of 1006. And, you know, Venus and the Mayan culture, you know, we're going to explore some of those things, and we're looking towards corresponding with what's happening in the world, what's going on in the forecast of the heavenly bodies. And also tonight, again, we have breaking news about this new website that's put up by the U.S. government that's unidentified anomalous phenomena, UAPs. Airborne objects that are not immediately identifiable. They're transmedium objects or devices and submerged objects or devices that are not immediately identifiable and that display behavior of performance characteristics suggesting that the objects or devices may be related to the objects or devices described in another paragraph here. I'm assuming that that's talking about unidentified flying objects or what we would call off-world visitors. The question is, are they off-world or is there some nation or part of our world where we have these beings, the crafts located? There has been a hollow earth theory. There have been various government officials, a director here in Canada, a former defense minister, who is saying that we are in the company of off-world beings. We could walk right by them on the street and we wouldn't even know that they weren't human. Imagine that. Finally, we're getting some reporting. And again, the website, again, is aaro.mil. That's Alpha Alpha Romeo October dot Mike India Lima. And you can check it out yourself as we are here. There's more coming soon, government-related program and activity reporting. This is the place to go. Doug, do you remember back in the 50s when they had Project Blue Book, which was the government's official researching of unidentified flying objects, and they always came out with the same old solution, weather balloon, swamp gas, clouds or anomalies. I mean, do you remember those days when everybody was going, give me a break, that's baloney. Remember those times?
Yes, but they stuck to their story no matter what.
They did. And, of course, Area 51, and if I got that right, and all the other phenomena where people were out there with binoculars and reporting things. I mean, the conspiracy guys were just having a wonderful time exposing the truth. And now here we are several years later, and now they have a government website. Oh, my gosh. Not only are they identifying things that are flying through the air and through space, they're also talking about things that are submerged and underwater. What do you think, my friends? The number is 718-766-4421. We're asking you to call in tonight and to give us your thoughts, your opinions on these phenomena in the heavens. This is not necessarily an unidentified flying object show tonight. We're talking about those heavenly experiences that have happened in days gone by, you know. What was the perceived meaning of ancient eclipses? You know, what was going on back in the day when people would see these things and they would wonder what is going, they would think it would be, you know, messages from God, right? Just a minute here. And I'm going to see a little bit, get my magic computer here. And we're looking at different things here. So the earliest recorded eclipse was, believe it or not, in 2134 BCE. And one of the earliest documented solar eclipses in history is from ancient China, dated way back when. And as this particular eclipse is especially well known because according to historical texts like the Shun Qing Book of History, two royal astronomers, He Si and Ho, failed to predict it. They failed to predict it. Uh-oh, reading on. As a result, they were beheaded for failing their royal duties, as their negligence meant that the emperor could not perform rituals to avert disasters associated with the eclipse. That's pretty serious, isn't it, Doc? Oh, my gosh. You know, you talk about people losing their head over something. These guys actually did. In ancient China cosmology, the emperor was considered the son of heaven, and a harmonious universe resolved around a just and virtuous leader or ruler. Solar eclipses were thought to be heavenly signs that warned of dire events or indicated the emperor's lack of virtue. To appease the heavens and restore cosmic balance, guess what? A series of rituals and rites would be performed, often involving sacrifices and prayers. I'll bet you it wasn't the emperor that was sacrificed. What do you think of that? To eat the sun, the Chinese term for solar eclipses, Shi, translates into eat in English, reflecting the belief that a mythological creature, often described as a dragon, was swallowing the sun during the eclipse. Drumming, shouting, and other rituals were performed to chase away this creature and save the sun. We're talking here 2134 BCE. That's a long time ago. And Chinese astronomers were predicting the heavenly movements. And when they made a mistake, well, they not only lost their jobs and position, they lost their heads. This is pretty serious stuff when you think about it, my friends, looking back in the heavens. But again, there has always been an association with heavenly events that have predicted or indicating things that are about to happen. Remember, not too long ago, there was the Mayan calendar and the long count that was forecasting that in December of 2012, there was going to be an upheaval and the world was going to change momentarily or in a day. Well, it didn't quite happen in 2012. Matter of fact, it took COVID to come along a few years later, and the world has changed. And like the Mayan calendar, give or take 5 or 10 years, the world has changed. It is never, ever going to be like it was prior to COVID. That's a fact. And because of that, think about it. One day the world shut down, at least in the Western world here, and in other places around the world as well. But everybody was home. That's right. Everybody stayed home. And what an earth-changing event that was. We had to deal with each other. Doug, we had to deal with the families. And we had to find a place of shelter. And we were terrified that this monstrous virus was going to get us. And the controversy that went on about it, the controversy about vaccines, and the mistrust and back and forth. But where are we today? We are not the same world as then, as now. And we're never, ever going to be as we were before COVID. The world is changing so fast. And because of this research into COVID vaccine, research has gone into looking for ways and means to fight bacteria and viruses. Did you know, my friends, up until that time, antibiotics were the only thing that actually killed viruses and bacteria or disease in the body? The only thing. Everything else treated the symptoms. I'm not a medical doctor, but this is what I was told by medical doctor scientists. So up until that point, there was no money and no time to research these small things, these viruses and invading forces in the body. But since then, there has been, with all that money and research, a direction towards understanding and curing cancers and also Alzheimer's and other diseases that are caused by virus and bacterial invasions in the body. That's still going on, and we're still seeing gradually improvements, and the intention is to find out what diseases are, for instance, diabetes, and attempting to find how they can work in the body. The research and the intention and the focus has been inwardly. Many prophets have predicted that we've been looking out in space, and the real frontier now is to look inside. And now, because of that terrible, terrible time, science and medical science and all other aspects of looking at the subatomic world is happening, and we're finding that there are now copper and magnetic devices put together that will make a light bulb come on, perpetual motion machines using copper wire and a configuration with magnets. That is just, if you look on the social media things, you'll find all kinds of little toy-type devices. But ha-ha, they are demonstrating principles that focus on magnetism. Up until recently, magnets were a toy, was a fascination. They were used in industry. But now everybody's getting curious about, what is this substance that we call magnetism? Well, you remember Tesla, the famous inventor and the worker of miracles with electricity, often said that the power in the future, if we understood the three forces of electricity, magnetism, and gravity, we would understand the workings of the universe. Here we are. We're looking now at this. The world is changing. So as we go ahead and understand that the world has changed very rapidly by the Mayan calendar, all these other things that I've just spoken about, it's just scratching the surface, of course. It's here in our world now. We are changing. We are never going to be the same. As we come to this point of understanding the heavenly forecasting events, many of the ancient cultures look to the Milky Way. And that was a Mayan mechanism for finding or divining the future. So the Milky Way had certain configurations, and there, I guess, astrologers and scientists and priests were looking at the Milky Way to give signs of the time when things were going to happen. And you know what? Usually they were right. Not necessarily to the day, but they were forecasting the time in which the world would change. And here we are. You know, the getting back to the emperor and his advisors and astronomers would often interpret the specifics of an eclipse, such as its duration and the extent to which the sun was obscured, as messages from the heavens. For example, the location of the eclipse in the sky would indicate which region of the emperor was in peril, or which aspect of governance required immediate attention. And they acted upon that. And as you go back in other cultures, from the Mayan to the Egyptian, to many, and of course the Eastern realms in China, as we said, there was this dependency on what's going on in the heavens. Do you have an opinion? What do you consider important about the heavenly bodies? The Star of Bethlehem was, again, one of those omens, one of those sightings in the sky that was predicting the arrival of the baby Jesus, or Emmanuel, as he was named by the angel Gabriel. So what do you think about that? Do you think that the heavenly signs have a meaning, that they forecast a change in the world as it is? Certainly today, or yesterday, I should say, there was a double blue moon. This was the closest the moon had been to the world in a long time. And also, it was the second moon in the month. And also, Saturn was really close to the world. And you could see it almost with the naked eye, of course. A little telescope helped a lot. We have been, over the last few months and years, seeing amazing things in the sky. The planets are lining up. I had predicted a long time ago that when they line up in a V shape, the sun as the apex, the earth in front of it, and the other planets, four on one side, five on the other, so four and four, I guess the earth would be in the middle as the ninth, that there was going to be tumultuous earthquakes and weather changes and the things that are happening now. I wrote that book, it's called The New Earth, back in 2011. It's available on my website, douglasjamescottrell.com. And many of the things that I predicted have come true, and there are still many more. And this talks about politics and weather and changes of government and all kinds of things that at first, you know, it's not an inspiring, entertaining novel. It's a news report, so to speak, of what's happening. And so best to be prepared. The things that are going on in the rising coastlines, the water rising on coastlines around the world, I predicted. The Mediterranean going up a considerable amount, where Barcelona would be surrounded by water. San Sebastian in the north would be, the beaches would be eroded. The storms that are happening in Florida and the southern part of the USA, the fires and the floods, that was predicted in that book. So it's kind of a good idea looking back to see what's going on in the world and how these weather changes have happened, but what's causing it? Well, in my book, I say why. And we talk about the things that happen, why they happen, and how to avoid them. Where's a safe place to live, for instance? Mr. Scallion had maps of the world changes in which he said they were just amazingly terrifying about the flooding that's going to happen in the world. But now it is happening. Where is a safe place? Where do we go? Well, again, my book helps, but there's many other aspects out there you could find as you look around to find out where the world is going. But was this predicted in the heavens? Were there signs in astrology or astronomy that would tell us these things? Well, I believe there was. What do you have to say? 718-766-4421 is the number to call. You know, the various global things that are taking place now, from the blood moons to the blue moons to the hunter moon to the various aspects of date and location, these often are associated with apocalyptic prophecies as seen as bad omens in various cultures. I don't think there's anything bad about it. I think the world is a violent place. It has tornadoes and it has melting ice caps. We've been talking about that since the middle 80s. And lo and behold, the world is wobbling, the planet's wobbling. Well, naturally, the stabilizing influences of the ice caps is responsible for holding the planet in its rotation. Now that's destabilizing and the planet's wobbling all over. The jet stream's coming further south. The Inuit in Norway were saying that the stars were moving south. What's going to happen to our planet? Well, that's another show for Earth changes, but is it being predicted by those aspects of the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, for instance, which every 20 years, but more notably back in 7 BCE, 1285, 1563, and 2020, in various cultures, this event has been seen as a potent of change of significant happenings. The 7 BCE event is sometimes associated with the Star of Bethlehem. Oh my gosh, there's that omen sneaking up again here and now. The ancients had a respect for the heavens, and from the several cultures, the meanings recorded in, supernovas were recorded in the year 1006. And matter of fact, in April 30th, 1006, supernova was visible from several countries, recorded in China, Japan, Iraq, and Europe. It was often viewed with fear and wonder. Sometimes it was thought as a sign of God. Well, a supernova is certainly a heavenly sign that would immense great power, and it would scare people who weren't quite aware of the modern, let's say, knowledge we have today. But it scares the heck out of me. Okay, so the number to call is 718-766-4421. We have some people standing by in the 845-773. We have some people in the 416, and again, 773, or maybe just listening. If you want to ask a question, I think there's a little button you push there, but Paul's going to introduce you and bring you into the show, and let's see what you have to say about tonight's cosmic journey as we investigate the sign of the times. What's on your mind? It's open mic tonight. Go ahead, Paul. Who's next?
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Maria. I call from New York.
Hi, Maria.
How are you?
How are you? I remember. How are you? Good to hear from you again. What's on your mind tonight? In the heavenly journeys of heavenly bodies. Okay.
I got a lot of things in my mind. Right now, it's still the no figures in my house with the leaking or the panel, as you see something. Then I don't know if I can go in Italy. My cousin got a baby and they wanted to go there for the baptism. So I don't know if I can go because I still in the house and they know nobody do nothing. They make me go crazy. You see anything here?
Well, certainly having a baby come into the family isn't quite a cosmic event, but it certainly is a family changing event. And if you're asking, how will it go for you, I think you should do it. I don't think there's going to be too much disruption in the world. That you can go there and revisit the family and have a good time and be welcomed there. I think you're going to meet some old friends as well.
Thank you. But over here, the house, they not do my roof. Remember, I told you a long time ago, I got it from the apple. They come in the water from the roof. And I got this on the panel. And they fight the insurance. The people on the panel, they don't want to remove it. They want somebody else to do it. And I'm still, I don't do nothing. I got my house in a mess. I don't know who's going to do it.
Well, I don't know how to help you on that one, Maria. But have you got anybody in the family that could, complain or take charge of that?
Me and my daughter, I have nobody. I call it the people over there, they call it the just the insurance. And today they come in and look at it and see what happened. They say 1 month, 2 months. As you say 2 months, I can go in Italy. Because now it come in October, I can leave in the house like that. You need a steamer. I can let it go to work inside the house. You know what I mean?
Well, what comes to my mind is to call up the member in the government. You know, if you have a municipal government, you have somebody at a government office and call them up and say that, you know, you want to know if you can get a reputable contractor or can they help you. There's somebody in the government that might be able to get somebody there real fast. Okay? I mean, okay, you know, whoever your elected official is for the city of New York in your district would be the one to call. That's what comes to my mind. So, oh gosh, I'm sorry you're getting such a hard time. Okay?
I think in Italy I can go by October.
Do I know anybody?
I can go in Italy in the month of October, next month.
Well, I think it's a good time. Like, it's been a hard time for you for the last several months, but it seems like September is just getting a little bit better for you. So I think you could get it done before September, October, yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
You know, my name is call you back, get tell me something. Okay? Thank you. God bless you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thanks, Maria. Hey, everybody, this is Maria. She's called in over the years, and she's been a friend of the show. And there we are with a little bit of domestic disturbance here. You know, the show tonight is according to the signs in the heavens. Now, I'm not an astrologer, but I have met people who are, and they can predict things with uncanny accuracy. It's amazing how they do it. It has to be... Doug, have you ever had an astrological chart done? It's got to be beyond those conjunctions and square this and trine that and rising sign and whatever, and whatever's planets in moon or, you know, the moon's in whatever planet or conjunction. I don't know. But people seem to be able to do that.
I've had a full chart done. This was many, 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 many years ago. And they work with cycles. Everything's a cycle. And I was quite amazed with some of the things they said. And I'm more amazed now because a lot of what they implied and said has actually come to pass. So I'm impressed as well. But, I mean, it was expensive because this was a top-notch astrologer. And, of course, it's like anyone in any profession, the quality you get depends on how talented they are, and how much you pay, of course.
Well, I'm not going to get into recommending astrology.
No. I'm just making a statement about my perspective.
Yeah, of course. And I was going to elaborate a little bit and say, you know, the first time I had somebody do my astrological chart, the famous Alan Spraggett was somehow in my life, and I asked him to do one. And I also asked two other people who I didn't really know. And it did cost a little bit of money. But me being the ever skeptic, I was surprised that all three of these people who did not know I was doing this in a sort of a research way, they came up with really pertinent information that I did not tell them, nor was it evident. For instance, each of them said I should have been a pilot. That would have been my life's calling. All of my life, I wanted to be a pilot. My family was in the Air Force. My father and my stepbrother was a paratrooper. I was fascinated with planes and always wanted to, when I was young, I got my pilot's license. And so when I was older, I fulfilled it. I've been up there flying planes all by myself. That's called solo. And I'm here to talk about it. So I do sometimes, Doug, think, you know, I missed my calling. I should have been a pilot. Our good friend and producer, Paul, has been in the Air Force all his life. And a lot of people I find that I associate with have been in the Air Force, been in the military, or ATP, that is to say, regular big airplanes, you know, passenger airplanes. I just love to fly. But that's what the astrology said. The chart was there. I could have been a pilot. Instead of becoming a pilot, I became somebody in a newspaper. I became a press man, you know, so that was close, I thought. But I was amazed. They told me what my health was going to be. Countess Tislaghi, the great famous artist and also descendant of Count Dracula, the real one in Transylvania, told me one day when I met her at a fair or a convention, and she came over to me and she said, you know, let me do the energy around you, the aura. I never heard of that before. And she did this little quick sketch with green and blue and around these bumpy shapes around my head. And then she said, you know, you're working on being stubborn. And I went, okay. I would say tenacious, you know, but being stubborn, that's okay. And then she said something that I've never forgot. She said, all the injuries of your body will be on your left side. Wherever you get hurt is going to be on your left side. When I played football, it was my back on my left side. When I played hockey, it was my left hip. And any time and every time I've been hurt, it's always my left side. She was absolutely right. Now, how do people perceive that and how did she know that? Well, she was a highly developed intuitive herself and quite famous for her researches. But the idea is that this is in the chart as well. They said I would have, you know, my life would be a long life. I'd have good health. And I, so far, God bless me, I am. But this was all an indication in these charts. And again, these were astrological indicators, or this were people who were doing, casting my chart, if you will. I had no idea what it was all about, but I was amazed that by looking in the heavens, they could find this. And so, as we follow through on the idea of what these things are, you know, solar eclipses in ancient China were not just astronomical events, but culturally and philosophical significant occurrences. That must be based on, you know, the planetary arrangements, which were deeply entwined with the beliefs about the governance, the virtue, the relationship between heaven and earth, and more details. I mean, even to the point where the emperor, as we read a little while ago, in one of the times when the astronomers didn't see the eclipse coming, they were punished severely. Historically, in importance, the heavens were believed to directly relate the state of the empire and its rulers. And solar eclipses were considered significant omens that warned immediately attention, as we said. So the solar eclipse that occurred in 2134 BC is noteworthy for being one of the earliest recorded eclipses in human history. According to the historical text Shunqing, the failure of those astronomers resulted in their execution. That's how severe they took this back in the day. Once an eclipse was predicted or observed, rituals were performed to restore cosmic balance. That sort of says, Doug, that, you know, the people would be able to, the people in the country would be able to take ceremonies and do things that would help change what was being forecast in the heavens above. And so that indicates that these were warnings, not necessarily destiny and fate, but that there were warnings or signs in the heavens. Again, going back to the Star of Bethlehem as an indication of the Messiah coming. So let's talk about those things and more as we take a short break. The number to call is 718-766-4421. It is open mic night tonight, and you can call in and ask anything you like. It looks like we're going to go to Chicago when we get back. Again, my friends, the number to call is 718-766-4421. Are you up on that AARO website right now? Let me know. Give me a call and we'll talk. We'll be right back after this.
One of the most poignant topics of discussion in today's world is the evidence of earthly changes and what began as what the media called global warming. Did you know our Global Village host wrote the most detailed predictive book about the future of our planet? The New Earth is a book that drills down to specific events, many of which have already come true, but much more than severe weather patterns, seismic eruptions. The New Earth tells us how to prepare and understand how societies and governments will be forced to accommodate these future events. Originally published as The New Renaissance, the updated manuscript is one of Dr. Douglas Cottrell's best-selling books. Pole shift, coastal and inland changes, volcanoes and earthquakes, rising temperatures, specific landmass changes, healing our emotional health during these changes, and so much more. Go to DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com. That's DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com for immediate access to your printed copy of The New Earth.
Getting beaten up in life? Reading Conversations with the Akashic Field by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell coaches you through methods of battling fear and self-doubt to gain the spiritual strength you need for defense and stamina. Tapping into an ever-present source to help you win today. Visit DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon today for Conversations with the Akashic Field.
The Douglas James Cottrell website is where you can learn much more about this amazing man and his journey through a lifetime of spiritual prophecy. The book Secrets of Life answers questions everyone has about the physical versus the spiritual world, why you are here in the world right now, karma, psychic abilities, reincarnation, prayer, and much more about universal laws. This book is essential for those who really desire to follow the path of the divine to soul perfection. Douglas has been chosen to provide you with a keen insight into the purpose of life's journey. Best-selling author Robert Appel says, "The least you can expect from Dr. Cottrell's work is that it will change your life." Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and click on Shop for Secrets of Life and all of his books and learning materials. You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And welcome back to the show, my friends. Wherever you are in the world, we are delighted that you're allowing us to come into your living room and hear our show tonight. Join us for a cosmic journey on the Global Village Radio Show. Tonight, we're talking about celestial bodies, planets, stars, comets that echo the sign of the times. And we have gone over a few details about antiquity and how important and how serious governments and nations and peoples of that time, that era, took these heavenly signs that are occurring around us now. We've had sunspots. We've had the sun turn into like a Halloween face. That was just a few years ago. We've had the sun change polarity. The north is now the south and the south is the north. And at that time, did you know that the north and the south poles were in the same place on the sun at the same time for a little while before the polarization north and south took place? How could that be? Well, we know we have sun flares. We know we are getting bombarded by this mysterious cosmic energy that comes through us that they call the shadow, the flares. And we know we have intense magnetic storms. We're afraid of that big shock wave. It's going to be a magnetic pulse that's going to knock out all our computers and our Wi-Fi. And we are keeping an eye on these different things, these big meteors that are going by. I predicted once, I think in the early part of 2000, that there would be a big meteorite going by at about a 45 degree angle. And I can remember looking at the NASA pictures, and there it was, millions of miles away, but that was called a close shave by the scientists of the day. But what's going on right now? India just sent a device that landed on the south pole of the moon. We have now other countries on Mars with roving devices. We even have, meaning the human race, have a helicopter flying on a off-world planet, a helicopter on Mars. Everybody's looking at the south pole of the moon. Why? Apparently, it's a source of ice and therefore water and therefore a perfect place for a future gas station. Yes, the gas station, where we as humans can go and refuel and maybe exchange personnel. I don't know. Maybe there's going to be a community there. But the intention is that once we're there, we can then leapfrog off to other planets, because there's no resistance as there is here with the atmospheric pressures and trying to break away from the Earth atmosphere and gravity. But on the moon, it's a hop, skip, and a jump into outer space. Why now? Why now? All of a sudden, there's a return to space. All of a sudden, there's a race to be established on the moon. And India, the only fourth nation in the world to have a visit to the moon and other places, they went to the South Pole. I did not know until recently that there were all these resources and that everybody wanted to get there, and they want to declare it sort of like the South Pole, Antarctica, here on Earth, where it's an open, you know, territory. Nobody really owns it, but there's agreements how to live there and participate and do research. Well, this is a sign of our times. We're off-world visiting places. We're looking to the stars. And at the same time, our planet is in terrible, chaotic influences of volcanic and earthquake activities, where, you know, perhaps we need to go to these places to survive as a species. What do you think about that? 718-766-4421. And I'm just going to read this quickly before we go to Carol in Chicago. This website, as I said, Alpha Alpha Romeo Oscar, Mike, India Lima, it's a website. I'm looking at it now, and it has ways for you to call in and give information. The U.S. government UAP-related program activity reporting will be accepting reports from current and former U.S. government employees, service members, or contractors with direct knowledge of U.S. government programs or activities related to UAP dating back to 1945. Hey, all you guys, was that Area 54? I think I called it 51 before. Area 54? Now is your chance. These reports will be used to inform AARO's congressionally directed historical record report. We will announce when a reporting mechanism is available for others to use. This form is intended as an initial point of contact with AARO. It is not intended for conveying potentially sensitive or classified information. Repeat, classified or sensitive information. Following the submission of your report, AARO staff may reach out to request additional detail or arrange for an informational interview. Well, folks, just go back in the archives of this show. We've had people on who have had contact with devices that had rotating lights, levitation. They had vehicles that would go through the air and through water. And one or two actually on this show have admitted, in all due candidacy, they were timid, that they actually were taken on board one of these craft. Now is the time, if you're out there. I'm not working for the government, understand. I'm just reading. This is brand new. It's breaking news here that we're announcing on the Global Village Radio Show Network that this is a place now that's officially set up. If you want to spill the beans, now's the time. Of course, 1945, you'd have to be like pretty close to 80 years old. so maybe that's why it's done now. You know, all of us that are, you know, 75, 85, you know, 90, maybe, you know, can we recall those times? You know, well, let's see. The number to call is to let us know what you think about that is 718-766-4421. In the back half of the show, we have Dr. Noah St. John on, and his interview is an amazing interview. We want you to stay tuned for that. It's just this man is a educator and a teacher, and he's come up the hard way, like you and I. He's came up from the working poor, if you will, and he made it to the top. And his books about affirmations versus affirmations, a bestseller, I might add, is available if you do a Google search. I'm on looking for him. Just listen to the show later on, and you'll be fascinated what he has to say. Now let's be fascinated. The number to call. We have some people standing in the 208, the 773, the 416. We have Carol, I believe, in Chicago that maybe we should go to and have a chat with her right now. Paul, what do you think?
Hello?
Hello, Carol. You're on the air.
Yes, and I was, when you're talking about astrology, your Generation Z is very interested in astrology. And
okay.
I was thinking about NASA, too. NASA didn't change like the zodiac signs. What they did was they did the math and called it astronomy. So, and then astrology originated in Mesopotamia during the third millennium. And then it went to India, and then it went to, I think, Western, and it formed in Greek. So I can kind of see that, you know, astrology being important, because the Generation Z loves it.
Well, I think all generations have astrology somewhere back in the day, you know, from ancient astrology to in biblical times to present day. There's always been, you know, like a majority of people. I think at one time a statistic I read in a newspaper report was that 66% of all people believe in something, you know, something mystical like astrology. And you know, the predictions through the place of the planets. That's a lot of people believing in something that has been controversial. Now, we're not talking about newspaper astrology columns, which are made for entertainment. These are serious people who have been looking, you know, paid money to get their astrological charts done. I've never really found anybody that was dissatisfied. I found people who were very skeptical and some cynical. And there are good ones, as Doug had mentioned before. You get a very good one. You have a pretty good map of your life path. I mean, President Reagan and Nancy Reagan had astrologers, an astrologer, I should say, and they didn't take trips without getting the okay from this astrologer. Now, that was a big hoopla when it came out, but they were doing it for a long time, of course. They were from California, and California was big on those kinds of things back in the day. And President Reagan was an actor, and he was part of the Hollywood culture, so why not? But the point was that, you know, the question was, were they basing meetings with Khrushchev and others at the time on astrology? Well, we won't go down that path. But it was a viable thing for people to use. As Doug said, if you get a good one, you might get a really good indication of it. And I'm not an astrologer, and I believe in free will and free choice, but I also believe in influences, and hence tonight's show. I'm speaking to everybody now. The idea that heavenly bodies are omens in the sky, the psychic newspaper, the spiritual path unfolding. As the Mayan calendar predicted that the world was going to change at and about this time, 2012, although they nailed it to that, or it was reported to be that time, but within 8 years or so, it actually happened, and the world is never going to be the same again. But anyway, Carol, you were saying, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to find out if Biden going to say, is he going to make a statement about the UAPs?
Well, I think he did. I don't know. I'm not sure if you're looking at the president. This is from the director, Sean Kilpatrick, Dr. Sean Kilpatrick. Welcome to the website for the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, AARO. Our team of experts is leading the U.S. government's efforts to address unidentified anomalous phenomena, UAP. Using a rigorous scientific framework and a data-driven approach. Since its establishment in July of 2022, I guess that would be under President Biden's shadow or with his approval, AARO has taken important steps to improve data collection, standardize reporting requirements, and mitigate the potential threats to safety and security posed by UAPs.
Yeah, and
I think that's an important statement. I think that means that maybe we're talking about extraterrestrials or off-world beings possibly being a potential threat and maybe a security risk. Anyway, continuing the last, so we look forward to using this site to regularly update the public about AARO's work and findings and to provide a mechanism for UAP reporting. Thank you for visiting. This should have been done back in the 40s and the 50s as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And see, the technology is getting better for the average person. I mean, even though we may be 5,000 years behind the aliens, but people are, you know, it's getting harder to hide. And that's why they have to come on out with it as well. It's getting harder to hide.
Well, I think I'm going to add to this. Sometimes they didn't want to hide. They were just out there, and nobody would believe it, you know. I made a prediction that there was going to be a huge UFO craft sighted. I think it was over Texas, and that came about. I personally didn't believe such things, but I was asked intuitively, and that's what I saw. And over the years, I have met people who have had personal encounters with off-world beings. They have felt the paralyzing effect of not being able to move and being transported from one place to another. Some people remember as a child seeing something, and then later on as they grew up, another visitation, and then still another visitation as they got older. Sort of they were getting checkups by off-world beings. And we had somebody on this show, it would be Big Tom, I guess, who confessed that when he was a little boy, he was in the woods and he saw a craft with red lights or white lights around the outside coming up off the ground and hovering in the bushes before it ascended into the sky. And he announced on the show that this was the first time he ever spoke of it because he didn't want anybody to think he was crazy. And he was a little boy when he saw that. How many other situations are out there? Well, the director wants to know. They want you to go to the website and they want you to make a report. Now, you know, in the world of politics, I'm a pretty cynical guy. And usually when a government wants the people to do something, there is another reason, a hidden agenda. And I'm wondering what's going on here. I mean, are they collecting the information to communicate with other beings? Or are they collecting this information to forewarn us that we already are in communication with these beings? I've had a vision, and I've announced it on the show before, where I saw a big round, I think it was on Richard Serrett's show, the crazy coast to coast that we were on. And I saw a big smoke ring, if you will, and I saw a military-type battleship-size spacecraft coming through. And I actually spoke to a woman who announced her name and said something to me. And I was wondering when I saw these craft, they were just like a freight train, one after the other. These vehicles were coming through this smoke ring. And I was wondering, what's the military going to do about it? And I thought, they can't do anything about it. And I knew then that this was, I don't want to call it an invasion, but this was certainly a force to be reckoned with. And I'm wondering, is this a future life I had this vision? Is it way, 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 way far away, or is it going to happen tomorrow? But maybe this attempt by the government to accumulate information is that they already know, they already have information. What do you think, friends? Call me a call at 718-766-4421 and let us know. So, Carol, you know, what do you think about this website? What do you think? Have you seen any phenomena like this yourself?
No, but I do know that that the government has made models of spaceships, too, and had them out there. But a lot of people were able to identify that they weren't aliens because of this technology. But they said that a lot of the military were making, copying the UFOs and putting them out as well, because they knew that they wanted to find out if it would cause mass hysteria. So.
Well, whatever. I know there's the shape of the bell. During the Second World War, the German engineers were attempting to make spaceships to because a bell-shaped vehicle will go through atmosphere, supersonic speeds, and it looks like a bell, you know, just the bell shape. How can that be? We know that supersonic vehicles always have a needle nose point or something like that. But here was these vehicles, and there was a lot of research done back in the early to mid-40s with this a look at attempting to find out about this bell shape and others. I mean, this report goes on to talk about vehicles that go through the air, that go underwater, that they can go through both mediums of air and water at the same time, that they have maneuvering capabilities that are phenomena where they can make right turns at speed, they can levitate, they can disappear. So, you know, what's going on? You know, I'm being cynical. What's going on here? Why now? Well, maybe it is time to get things out, but maybe it's prepare us for more sightings and more information that's coming to us by these off-world beings. Certainly out there, I can say the people have told me that they've had visions or they've had experiences that we're getting so off the mark here on planet Earth that they're going to come and try to save us. That, you know, we're getting so far away that we're going to destroy ourselves. And when we do that, now that we're reaching out into space, now we're in somebody else's backyard, now they're paying attention to us. Because before, we could do whatever we want on our planet to ourselves and they didn't care. But now that we're reaching out into the planets, into the solar system, and with intentions to go off to follow Voyager, which is at the edge of our galaxy. Right now, I think this was the year. It's at the edge of the galaxy. And maybe, just maybe, we're knocking on somebody's door and they don't like the way we're behaving, and maybe they're going to come do something about it.
I think one last thing,
my friends. Go ahead, Carol.
Last thing. I think they had got concerned when Oppenheimer made that atomic bomb, because they said that one guy that had interviewed some of the aliens, he said that they got concerned because you were coming into the atmosphere, I mean the atmosphere, and destroying it. So that's what they got concerned about. They said, "Well, we're gonna have to come down there and talk to them."
Well, you're right about that. When that atomic bomb experiment went off in New Mexico, the scientists did not know if they were going to ignite the atmosphere on the planet and the atomic bomb would set off the atmosphere and incinerate the Earth. They did not know that, but they went ahead and did it anyway.
Right.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Did you see the movie, the Oppenheimer movie? Dr. Cottrell, you need to see it.
Well, I know the story. I lived through it. But
see the acting.
Yeah. I remember Einstein was there giving him Mr. Oppenheimer advice and told him not to go and participate in the government investigation, that he was much more needed than he thought, and he participated, and of course his reputation was negatively affected, and well, the rest of the story is out there, not to spoil it for people who want to know. But I lived through it, and I'm fully aware of what happened, and I'm also a child of that generation that I was told to hide under my desk at school should there be an atomic explosion. How ridiculous was that? But that was advertised on television and radio, and there were school drills doing that, and of course everybody who had any money, they had a little bomb shelter put in their backyard. And those were the days. Anyway, so the world is changing. Thank you very much for being on the show, Carol. You're always a delight to come in with some insightful questions, and we appreciate your input every week. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Paul, I think we're doing okay with the microphones, although we can't quite hear, I can't quite hear you, but I guess we're going through the list. What's next, Paul? Who's next? Hello, you're on the air. Can you hear me? You're in the 416 area code. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hello, Desiree.
Yeah. Hi.
This is Sybil in Godfrey.
Hi, Sybil.
Yeah. Hi. I have a question and an update on the farm. You were right about the wood stove, which is great. My neighbors had to come over to help me move it in. And we now have 53 animals on the farm. You saw
wow.
that I would have a horse. Yes. You saw that I would have a horse, and it hasn't happened yet. But we have 16 chickens. 4 of them were rescued. 3 ducks that turned into 35 over the summer because of duckling. And 1 kitten and 1 puppy.
Sounds like a lot of chores.
Yes, but beautiful. Yeah, my question is,
mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, when did I make those predictions, and where are you located generally, you know, without giving your address? Where are you? So the audience might know.
Sure. I'm just north of Kingston.
Okay. And I made those predictions
you made the prediction, I believe it was last year, so 2022.
Okay. So we're really happy that you have prosperity in your homestead there and that you have the big wood stove, I guess, or whatever, and good for you.
Yes.
What's your other question?
Oh, I plan to get cows this spring. Should I get 3 or more like 10 to 12?
Wow. Are you going to be doing the milking? Are we talking dairy cows
now?
No,
it was beef cows. I wasn't looking to do any milking.
Okay. So you're going to go beef cows? Yes, beef is going to go way up in price. Yes.
Okay, but I wasn't sure how many.
Yeah, first it's going to go down in price, and then it's going to come up. Do you have good fences? I think you need to look at some mending of fences if you're going to have 10 or so.
Okay,
so depending on there's a calculation of how big your, how much land area, so they can, you know, eat grass and pasture and stuff and get exercise. There's a formula for how many acres versus how many animals you can have. But I could see you have, you know, several. Looks like 8 or 10.
Okay. No, that's great. I also have a comment about the celestial events. Only recently I learned that when planets are in retrograde, you shouldn't start any new projects because it is bad timing. Should wait for planets to be out of retrograde before trying something new.
That's true. Mercury's been going retrograde, and it's starting to come out of it. But the shadow, I think, hangs on till another 2 or 3 weeks into the mid part of September. Again, information I've been told, not that I'm an astrologer, everybody. So, yeah, and you ought to understand that it's not a hard and fast rule. Usually when Mercury goes retrograde or planets go retrograde, they have a delaying effect or they have a negative effect. But that doesn't mean your will can't make it happen. So if you were someplace and somebody offered you, say, 3 or 4 cows and they were like half price, you shouldn't say, well, I'll come back next month. You should say, here's the check. I'll have the truck pick them up today. So again, sometimes it's not a hard and fast rule. Astrology is not to be taken as a hard and fast. It's an art, and your will, everybody listening, your will is the most important. So, but you know, if you buy the cattle, you could expect maybe the truck to get there late, or the truck might have a flat tire, a little inconvenience, something like that. Make sense?
Okay. Yes, that makes sense.
So anyway, good for you. You're going to have quite a production going here. Holy moly.
Yes, I will. But it's wonderful. And it's wonderful to see nature and all these ducklings born.
Yeah, it's good for the soul. And you walk on the ground, you walk out there with your bare feet and you're standing on the grass, you're grounding yourself into the earth, and, you know, healing is taking place. Somebody just recently I saw somewhere, a newscast or something, one of the best things that you should do is divide up your day and at least once a week go into nature and walk around for an hour. And it was said this was one of the things that would increase your mental health. And all it was just walking in nature and hearing how quiet it is out there. And after all, my friends, that's what we used to do all the time. An old timer once told me, you know, back in the day, nobody ever went inside. The only time you went inside was to sleep or when the weather was so bad that you couldn't stay outside. What a revelation that was. And that's why those little houses on the prairie were little houses, because you stayed outside. From the time you got up to the time you went back in the house to go to sleep, you were outside. And so we are now inside all the time. And we have to take, set your cell phone where it says, you know, date appointments, make an appointment with yourself. So go outside for half an hour. Okay. Anyway, I'm glad you're having such a wonderful time. You're in a beautiful part of the world, and it looks like prosperity is happening all over. So more power to you. Give us a report next spring and let us know how many calves you have or whatever, I guess, you know. I don't know. You're planning on that?
I'd like to plan on having calves as well. So,
Well, artificial insemination is a good way to go because you don't have to buy a bull that way. Just remember that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, okay, thank you.
Yeah, there's just local guys that do that, and they come and they charge you a fee. And you don't have to feed the bull or get mixed up with a bull and all that stuff. Just have happy calves in the spring. Okay, take care. And,
okay.
Glad you checked in, and thank you very much for letting us know that we helped out.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Paul, I think we'll take a short break and be right back after this for a few more callers. Or your comments, my friends. The number is 718-766-4421. It is open mic tonight. You can ask anything you like. But we're talking about the cosmic journey that's going on in those heavens above and what they mean to us. You have a question? You have a comment? Did something happen to you? We want to hear about it. 718-766-4421. We'll be right back.
For many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who, just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at the New Age Health Guide. On sale now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com.
Who is God?
What's my purpose?
What do my dreams mean?
What are miracles?
What are spiritual abilities?
Was I in a past life?
Who is my soulmate?
What is meditation?
Are your thoughts racing around on what life is or how to live it? Slow down. Find answers in Dr. Douglas James Cottrell's book, Secrets of Life, now available at douglasjamescottrellstore.com or Amazon.
Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up podcast exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to douglasjamescottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice. Every so often, an individual appears who can demonstrate the ability to access the dimension known as the Akashic Field. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is one such individual. The field is like a celestial library of all our thoughts and actions since the dawn of time. Science is demonstrating that through this energetic field, our minds are connected to one another despite our perception that we're all separate. This is why the great religions of the world teach respect, compassion, and tolerance. They depict the field as the book of life, the source of inventions, inspiration, and insight. In the book, Conversations with the Akashic Field, Dr. Cottrell offers you practical advice from the Akashic Field so you may live a life of peace and prosperity. Go to douglasjamescottrell.com and click on Shop. There you'll find books, meditation, and other spiritual advancement materials.
Welcome back to the show, my friends. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell, and my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, is here tonight. The show is being produced by Paul Hughes, and our engineer, Jack, is with us also in the background. And we're doing a good job tonight in covering this phenomena that we call the celestial bodies that are forecasting events in our time, and as we look back in times past. One of the last great events was the significant, I guess it was back in December 2020. It was a celestial event that gained significant attention and was thought to have an influence on people. It was called the Great Conjunction, which was Jupiter and Saturn, that occurred on December 21st, 2020. In this event, the two largest planets in our solar system appeared exceptionally close in the sky, closer than they had been since 1623. From a scientific standpoint, the event was a regular orbital phenomenon that happens every 20 years, but was exceptionally close this time. It provided an opportunity for amateur and professional astronomers to get a good look at both planets in the same telescopic field of view, a rare occurrence, I might add. The event gained widespread attention not only for its astronomical significance, but also because of its timing near the end of a tumultuous year marked by the COVID-19 pandemic. Social unrest and significant political events. Many looked to the Christmas star, as it was named, for symbolic meaning. Some interpreted it as a sign of hope or change, drawing parallels with historical conjunctions that have been seen as omens or divine signs. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. This was the Christmas star happened here just a couple of years ago. In astronomy or astrology, the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn is known as a great conjunction and is traditionally thought to mark the beginning of a new age or era. The conjunction's occurrence in the sign of Aquarius was highlighted by astrologers as symbolizing a shift towards greater focus on humanitarianism, technology, and collective well-being. Whether one subscribes to these interpretations or not, well, they are widely discussed and thought-provoking for many. The event was widely covered back in the day in the media, and it was a hot topic of discussion on social platforms. For some, it served as a rare moment of global unity. I wonder if that's what these celestial events are all about, to get us, the people around the world, to step out and look up in the sky, pondering the mysteries of the universe and our place in it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone outside and looked up and saw those beautiful stars? Have you taken the time to do that lately? There's a lot going on up there. And as we continue to, as a human race, reach out to the stars, are we going to knock on somebody's door and they're going to be welcoming or not, is the question. But as we look up in the sky, how significant is that beautiful, wonderful sky? And how insignificant are we? You know, a little dot in space. There's no scientific basis for believing that celestial events directly influence human affairs. The culture and psychological impact of such occurrence can be substantial. They serve as moments for collective reflection, inspiring awe and wonder, and sometimes even leading to shifts in perspective or behavior. Maybe that's what it's all about. As we come to the end of the first part of the show, another 10 minutes, with the number to call in is 718-766-4421. Dr. Noah St. John is here with us in the flip side of the show in the next hour or so, and his interview is remarkable. He has a breakthrough in how to go from rags to riches, because he's done it. He's read all the books. He's experienced all the steps to take, and he is a extremely successful man. You will learn a lot in this upcoming interview. Paul, what's next? We have somebody in the 917 and the 208, and we have a few minutes left. Okay, we're going to the 208. Hello, you're on the air.
Good evening. Can you hear me okay?
We can, loud and clear. How are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm Michael, calling from Idaho.
Welcome to the show, Michael. Good to hear you back again.
Thank you.
What's on your mind?
You know, talking about the celestial bodies, I think you talked about this before, or somebody did. I heard this somewhere that all the planets and everything can affect the both physical, emotional, mental, and in ways, you know, depending like Mercury retrograde and whatnot. Can you tell me about those things?
Well, I mean, the idea is that, you know, there's no scientific basis for celestial events directly influencing human affairs. But they do have some cultural and psychological impact on when they happen. And so people more experienced and wiser than I have over the years, centuries, millennia, have deducted, have calculated, have researched that certain influences come from these arrangements of the planets in the sky. Now, I don't think that a constellation has broadcasting, you know, waves or vibes that makes us do things. But as we go through this orbit, they go through the daily rotation, we expose ourselves to vibration and frequencies. And the idea that space is empty is erroneous. It's very busy. It's full of sound, vibrations, and frequencies. And so extrapolating that in a simplistic and simplest way possible would be that as we go through these constellations, or we go through the orbit, if you will, that we actually sense or feel different. I know when phases of the full moon happen, as we just had one this last week, it was a double blue moon. It was a magnificent sign in the sky. Saturn was nearby, and these were visible almost with a naked eye, but with a simple telescope, you could see how magnificent these views were. When the full moon happens, things happen to people. You know, they're provoked, they're lustful, they're a little more angry, and people in institutions seem to act up a little bit, as has been reported. So there is something to that influence of the moon, although the moon itself is just going through its rotation. It's going around the planet. But it does seem to have effects, tidal effects, effects that we can't see. And we have water throughout our body, so maybe we have a tidal effect in our body. Again, just comments on my part, but to answer your question, and I can only give you my opinion, and maybe Doug has a little better insight on that, and might be able to jump in on that question. What do you think, Doug?
I agree with you, and because everything in the universe is energy, and so quantum mechanically speaking, they've done experiments, and what happens in one area affects what happens in the other area. This is in terms of quantum mechanics. So on a subatomic level, changes happen in one area, they affect what happens in another area. And so what happens in the universe, just as, you know, people are connected, a mother or a father is connected to his or her children, and there are many, many stories in history where a mother knows when her son or her daughter has died or has been injured. They just feel it because there's an energetic connection. So in terms of planets, they exert a gravitational and electromagnetic effect on, for example, on other parts of the solar system. Certainly the sun does. The sun is part of astrology, and it has a major effect energetically and in terms of gravity on everything in the solar system, planets and the people and the animals as well. So I look at it energetically in terms of influences. Now, in terms of astrology, it's not scientific, but it is, if you look historically, it is based on some evidence that they would conclude that there was a constellation or a situation in the heavens. They would observe some effect. And it has to be very vague because it's not directly causing things. It's simply an influence, and that's my perspective on it. That energetically, it has an influence, and it would be interesting to look at it scientifically and actually do measures of the effect that certain constellations have, but astrology is denigrated by hard science. But in my view, it would be possible to do scientific experiments. It'd be difficult, but possible to validate certain aspects of astrology in terms of hard science. But in terms of energy, it all fits together to a certain extent. Not necessarily that the conclusions are perfectly correct, but energetically are affected.
Yes, to the echo, Michael. Spot on. Okay. I heard years ago from scientists or various people into astrology that all the planets, constellations, everything with their electromagnetic and gravitational activity going on, it affects something to do with our astrological charts and, you know, who we are, who we're going to be. And there are supposed to be astrologers out there that know this and can chart people's lives in certain ways, whatever.
Well,
but like you said, will is better.
I'm going to add to that, Michael, that the chart can show you tendencies and can show you directions. As I started off the show tonight, I was saying that I had not one, not two, but three astrologers cast my chart because I had never had it done before. And I have that kind of a research mind back in the day to do this. And that was my way of going to three independent people and seeing what they had to say. All three of them had things that the other two didn't mention, but many of the things that they did mention, all three concurred and they were similar. But the point I was making is that they all said I should have been a pilot. I had an aptitude for being a pilot. I was, you know, through the conjunction stars, squares, triunes, or whatever, I don't know, rising sign, Taurus and moon or whatever it was, that I would have been a very good pilot. And I am. Back in the day when I was fly, I was very good. I knew where I was in time and space, which is sort of a quality you have to know. Without, you can't learn it. It's just like balancing something. You are, you aren't not. So it had a tendency for me to be a pilot, and I wanted to be one. I was going to go that way, and part of my family on my grandfather's side, his brother, they had a trucking industry called Cottrell Transportation, which is the trucks that move the cars around, you know, those car transport trucks that had several cars on them moving from one place to another. That was apparently my grandfather's brother's part. But they also had a Cottrell Air Freight. And I almost knocked on the door and said, hi, my name's Cottrell, you know, any job openings? But I didn't do it. I was always going to, and then all of a sudden the company was sold and I was out of luck. But the bottom line was the tendency in the astrological chart was there for me to be a pilot. I love to fly. I like flying. I'm at home in the air, and I have flown airplanes by myself, solo. So, and I just love it. But I didn't. I went in a different direction. And because of that, here we are talking today. So astrological has a tendency, an influence, a sort of a current of what one can become. Now, if your destiny is to work on construction, that's your destiny. Your free will allows you to be a carpenter, an electrician, or an architect, or a laborer, or a truck driver, but you're still on construction, so the influence is there. And I do a lot of flying, I mean, have done a lot of traveling. And that influence, I think, was in the chart that, you know, being a pilot, you would be traveling. So as we come towards the end of the show, Michael, you know, have you had such experiences with celestial bodies or astrology that has made some difference to you?
Yeah, I don't know if it was Saturn, but I know Jupiter is one of them, and possibly Venus. There's probably a lot of Venus in my chart because like the influences of love seems to be prominent most times, most days. Just kind of the vibration of love itself.
Okay, makes sense. I want to thank you for being on the show, Michael. We're going to go to a break, and then on the other side, we're going to have an interview with the late and great, well, I shouldn't say late, the great and famous Dr. There we go again with my mind here, Noah St. John and his amazing story from rags to riches. We'll be right back after this. Thank you, Michael, for being on the show. Everybody stand by. We'll be right back after this, and I'll say goodnight as we... to all of you who have called in the show, there won't be any calls or be able to take any more calls later on to the rest of the show. So stay tuned. Next week, we have some exciting guests coming up again. And we look forward to having you right here on the Global Village Radio Show next week. But stay tuned. Listen to this amazing interview with Dr. Noah St. John. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Douglas.
The Douglas James Cottrell website is where you can learn much more about this amazing man and his journey through a lifetime of spiritual prophecy. The book Secrets of Life answers questions everyone has about the physical versus the spiritual world, why you are here in the world right now, karma, psychic abilities, reincarnation, prayer, and much more about universal laws.
This book is essential for those who really desire to follow the path of the divine to soul perfection. Douglas has been chosen to provide you with a keen insight into the purpose of life's journey. Best-selling author Robert Appel says, "The least you can expect from Dr. Cottrell's work is that it will change your life." Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and click on Shop for Secrets of Life and all of his books and learning materials. For many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who, just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at the New Age Health Guide. On sale now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Welcome to the Global Village Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Tonight, a special guest, Dr. Noah St. John, father of affirmations and the mental health coach to the stars, helping people in business and people in everyday life to change their beliefs by focusing on what is good and right about themselves. We're not taking phone calls tonight. This is a pre-recorded interview from earlier this week. We're here with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and guest Dr. Noah St. John, who has quite a background in a quest to morph from professional ballet as a dancer to coach, mentor, internet marketer Noah St. John, who spent tons of money and time with many a variety of programs offered by personal growth leaders, and as for many others, the promised wealth wasn't forthcoming. So he decided to sit down and find out why that was, what was he missing, and lo and behold, he found it. He hacked the entrepreneur's self-sabotage system and discovered the success anorexia at its root that starves people from the income they desire and deserve, and keeps them from the seven-figure life they dream of. What a difference it made from living in his parents' basement with a $40,000 debt. He became one of the most respected guides to successful entrepreneurship and seven-figure fulfillment with endorsements from Stephen Covey, Jack Canfield, Harvey McKay, many others. He's done it all through changing affirmations to affirmations. More on this later. He's going to tell us, showing people how to take out their head trash so they can achieve their permission to succeed, and developing repeatable habits and systems that consistently produce results. His book is The Seven-Figure Life, How to Leverage the Four Focus Factors for More Wealth and Happiness. Here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell with Dr. Noah St. John.
Well, first of all, everyone who's viewing this
cast and listening into the radio show, welcome to the show wherever you are in the world. I have a very special, interesting guest today, a man that I admire just by reading his bio and some of his background, as you've heard Paul give in the introduction. You know, it sounds like the classical rags to riches story, and just hearing how you were going in one direction in life, and suddenly this wake-up call got you on another path, and you were able to achieve great success, and you were able to hang on to that success. You've written more than 20 books, and your journey spiritually, financially, intellectually, and through life's experiences, the ups and downs that we all go through, rather amazing story. So as we start the interview, could you please give our listeners an overview of how your journey sort of got started? And I mean, everybody's just dying to know, how did you do it? Because they want to do it. So.
Well, absolutely, Douglas. It's great to be here today. And yes, I'm absolutely happy to be able to share these secrets and methods that I share with my clients, both, you know, one-on-one clients and group coaching clients, as well as in my keynote presentations as a keynote speaker. But yeah, my story is started from very humble beginnings. I grew up poor in a rich neighborhood, and I know that's a total cliche, but it's totally true. I grew up in this little town called Kennebunkport, Maine, which happens to be one of the wealthiest communities in New England. But my family was dirt poor, and I mean that literally, because we lived at the bottom of a dirt road in a drafty, unfinished house that my parents ended up losing to foreclosure when I was just 15 years old. So from a very young age, I was painfully exposed to the gap, the chasm between the haves and the have-nots. The haves was everyone else in the community, and the have-nots was my family. Wow. And so there's many times you hear speakers like motivational speakers or what have you, and they'll be on stage and they'll say, well, you know, we were poor, but we were happy. We didn't know we were poor. Well, in my family, we freaking knew we were poor because my mother, you know, my mother, bless her heart, reminded us every day that we were poor and miserable. So no, it wasn't happy. It was very unhappy. Right. And so from a very young age, I hated being poor. I hated that life of poverty and fear and lack and not enoughness. That's what I grew up with. But I saw that right down the street, there's great wealth and abundance. So from the time I was a little kid, I literally said, how the heck do I get from here to there? And of course, there was no one to help me. You know, there was no internet back then, and certainly no coaches or mentors who could help me. So I did the only thing that I could think of to do to answer that question, which is I went to the library and I just read every book that I could on self-help. I just immersed myself in the world of personal growth and success and self-help, all of the classics that we all know and love, you know, Dale Carnegie, Napoleon Hill, Stephen Covey, all the classics. And I just read every book that I could in the self-help section. And I really, really worked very hard, and I tried to get it to work. The problem was, as hard as I worked, as hard as I tried, I couldn't get it to work. And so at the age of 25, I found myself broke and frustrated, and, you know, my girlfriend had just left me. It was like a country song, you know, but it was really
talk about being at the bottom. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I was living in Los Angeles at the time. So I decided at the age of 25 to take my own life, to commit suicide.
Oh, gosh, no, no.
And I made that decision, and I tell that story in my books. But at the very last moment, after I had made that decision and went to do it, at the very last moment, my life was spared. And I didn't know why at the time. I just knew that, okay, I guess I'm not supposed to take my own life, but gosh darn it, I don't know why. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing here on planet Earth. I've got to find, that's when I decided, I've got to find my purpose. I felt like I was just, you know, floating along with no purpose, no direction, and, you know, no real reason for even being here. So I did the only thing I could think of to do, which is I went back to the library and I read more books. This time I went to the spiritual growth section.
Ah.
you know, and the first journey that I was on was more of an outer journey, trying to create outer success, and that I failed. But this second time I went back and it was more of an inner journey to find my purpose. And fast forward many years later, in 1997, I actually had several epiphanies that really enabled me to see what was actually missing in all those books that I'd spent all those years reading. And I knew that I had just stumbled upon something very different, very unique in this world of self-help and personal growth. And I knew that that was my purpose. I finally found my purpose. And so I decided to write my first book based on these nuances, these differences that I had discovered, that I'd stumbled upon. And so I wrote my first book. It was called Permission to Succeed. And then I was actually discovered by Jack Canfield from Chicken Soup for the Soul. And he actually took my book, which was called Permission to Succeed, which was self-published at the time, back in 1998, and he sent it to the Chicken Soup for the Soul publisher. And lo and behold, I got a publishing contract from the Chicken Soup people. They published my first book in 1999, and now more than 20 books later, my books are in over 18 languages all around the world, and we've helped our clients add over $3 billion in new revenues using my methods. That means we've helped people add six figures, multiple six, seven figures, and even eight figures, you know, wow, using my methods. And this has come after most people who hire me to coach them, whether one-on-one or group coaching, after they've already gone to so many of the gurus and all the, you know, big name guys out there, and yet they're still hitting that income ceiling. They're still stuck. And so they work with me and I show them and I help them, and then they're able to literally double, triple, or even quadruple their income in a very short amount of time. So really, that's how it all started, and that's how we got here.
Well, you know, everybody needs a mentor. Everybody needs a teacher. Everybody needs a pathfinder, somebody that's been down the path. But here you are, or were, mm-hmm, back there ready to check out of this world.
Yep.
And you had perhaps a divine intervention, let's call it, or some motivation, mm-hmm, or some, yep, wake up. I like to call wake up, but everybody's divine, yep, moments. And then as I'm listening to your story, Noah, I'm listening, wait a minute, he was learning all these steps in an experiential way rather than an esoteric way.
Yeah.
And there you were. And the thing that I admire in listening to what you just said now, I've had similar situations in my life, is that you never gave up. You got down to the bottom, you know, that Job on the ash pile kind of story.
Yeah.
And whatever the turnaround was, you went back to the library. And then again, as you continued on, that's when your mentor showed up, and that's when you had this opportunity to publish your book. But you already had the book published. You didn't wait.
Yes.
You weren't waiting till somebody came along. You did it. You acted. You took action.
Yes.
I like your comment here in reading your affirmations don't work. Affirmations work. I love that. Tell us about that. That's a fantastic cliche or story or comment.
Thank you. Well, that was one of the things that I discovered back in 1997, and it turned into this teaching, this training called Affirmations. And this is my book from Hay House now called The Book of Affirmations. And I just want folks to realize that, yes, I'm saying a new word, a different word, right, than you're used to.
It.
So it's Affirmations, affirmations. All right. So you can Google that and you can just go to affirmations.com and learn more about my affirmations method. But so how is it different from the old way? So as a keynote speaker, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I get to speak to groups, teams, organizations, corporations all around the country and around the world, whether live or virtually. And one of the things I like to do in my keynote presentations is I'll play a little game with my audience. And so I'll say, all right, everybody, now we're going to do this fun exercise. Now, I want everybody to say an affirmation just like the gurus have been teaching us for decades. So everybody say this classic affirmation, and everybody say, I am rich, right? So, and then everybody goes and says, I am rich. And you know what happens next? Everyone starts laughing.
Goes through one ear and out the other.
Right, exactly. They just start laughing. And so I say, well, yeah. What are you laughing at? And they say, well, I'm not rich. And then I say, but you just said you were. And they go, yeah, but I don't believe it, Noah.
There you go.
Now, isn't that the way that we've been taught, right? We've literally been taught to say these positive statements over and over and over again. And even though most of the time we don't believe it, the gurus say, well, just keep saying it over and over again, and someday you'll believe it someday. And it's like, oh, my God. Did you know, and this is true, did you know that a scientific study was actually done and showed that 75% of the people that used the old affirmations method, the one we've been taught for decades, 75% actually end up more frustrated than before? Can you believe it? 3 out of 4. So imagine if you had a smartphone that didn't work 3 out of the 4 times you went to use the phone.
There you go.
You'd probably get a new phone, right?
I love it.
Well, that's what I did.
You'd be tough to that one for sure.
That's right. Well, I invented a new phone. I invented a new phone for the brain, right? More than 25 years ago. So in April 1997, I was actually in the shower when I discovered this. And in my books, you can read that. I call it the shower that changed everything.
Wow.
Right, because we all have those aha moments in the shower, don't we? You know, or you're in the bathtub, time. You're in the shower, whatever. That eureka moment, right? This goes back to the ancient Greeks, and so this was my shower moment 26 years ago now, and I realized that we've been taught to change our beliefs with only one way, only one method, which is to change your statements. Now, if that worked, it would be fine. But for millions and millions of us, it didn't work at all. And it never works, no matter how often you do it, how many times you do it.
That's right.
The gurus just keep telling us, do this one thing. And so I was in the shower, April 1997. I said, what? There's got to be another way, right? This never works. I mean, I've been doing it for years. You know, I've been doing it for years and years and years. I never got anything, you know, and I had all these stickers. I did everything they said, right? Put these statements, you know, post-it notes, and I'm happy, I'm rich, I'm successful. And the truth was, no, I'm not. I'm broke, unhappy, and miserable, right? So I said, there's got to be a better way. What is it? And so I realized that we're talking about beliefs, right? We're talking about changing your beliefs to change your life, right? That's what millions of us want to do. And so I said, well, what is a belief? A belief is just a thought. Well, what's thought? And the more that I thought about that question, what is human thought? I realized that human thought is the process of asking and searching for answers to questions.
True.
So I said, wait a second. If human thought is the process of asking and searching for answers to questions, why are we going around making statements that we don't believe? Why don't we just cut out the middleman? And I said, well, what would that look like? Well, let's see. You got the statement or affirmation, I am rich, and your brain goes, yeah, right. So I said, if that's the statement, then what would the question be? And then I said, why am I so rich? Why am I so rich? Now, when you ask that question, what immediately starts to happen in your brain? You start to search for the answer, right? And so I said, wait a minute. This goes back to the law of sowing and reaping. As you sow, so shall you reap. This is an ancient law. It's been taught for centuries. And yet, do you know what we're doing? We're sowing seeds of thought. However, do you know what most people are doing? Sowing lousy thought seeds. Why am I so
germinate?
Right. Why am I so stupid? Why am I so fat? Why can't I lose weight? Why isn't my business growing? Why can't I get a date on Friday night? Why is there more month left at the end of the money? And when you ask lousy questions, you get lousy answers. And that creates a lousy life. So I said, wait a second. What if we flip the whole thing on its head? And instead of asking lousy questions that lead to lousy answers and create a lousy life, just start asking empowering questions that lead to phenomenal answers and create a wonderful life. And as I was standing there in the shower, April 24th, 1997, I said, I just invented something. And so I had to give it a name, and the name that I gave it was Afformations. Again, you can just Google that. Google Noah St. John, Afformations, Afformations, or go to afformations.com and learn about my now iconic and legendary now Afformations method. And the reason I say that is because now we have over 2 million Afformers all around the world. That's what we call ourselves, people who are, you know, clued into my method. And it's incredible, because once you start using my Afformations method, you realize, wait a second, I've been forming my very life with these questions my whole life, and yet I've been doing it in all the wrong ways. And so just flipping it on its head, and you can change. And we have incredible real life stories of people who have doubled, tripled their income, who have found their dream job, found their dream spouse, you know, the found and married their soulmate, saved marriages. Kids love Afformations, by the way. We've got kids using Afformations to improve their grades and get better self-confidence, higher self-esteem, you know, graduate when they didn't think they could. And just the stories are just incredible. These are all real stories, real people. And that is what makes me so excited and happy to see people using my Afformations method to change their lives.
Well, when I read in your information, in your media kit, and I saw the word Afformations, that triggered in my mind, you can have good thoughts, mm-hmm. you can invent things in your mind, you can have wonderful plans, but unless you take them down from that sort of mental world down to the physical world and form them into real things, form a plan, and then take action, they're just in the ethers. And
right.
That's why I say thoughts go, you know, I'm rich. And in your mind, you're going, no, I'm not.
Right.
You know, so you're parasitic,
right.
Defeated all the time. So you've answered several of my questions here that I was going to ask already. So, you know, words, think here.
Good.
Empathically, intuitively. But, you know, I have come across people in my life who, and everybody I think who attempts to be successful is willing to take risks, willing to succeed, willing to fail.
Mm-hmm.
You can't succeed unless you can't succeed greatly unless you're willing to take great risks. And so Afformations, and I'm not just playing on it a little bit, is forming a plan. But when people are stuck and they're in that darkness, they're in that point where, you know, you're going, what the heck? I just don't have that energy. I don't have any. And I like to direct people to finding enthusiasm when they don't have any. So how would it be to our listeners, no matter where they are in the world and what language they're speaking, they're all the same in my opinion. How do you get to that person who's there where you were in that dark place that night and say, listen, I can help you. I've helped. Well, of course, you have a track record. You have thousands of people who have been successful. Mm-hmm. What's the one thing to get somebody to turn around at that point, Noah?
Well, when you look at your goals, all right, and everybody listening to this program, right, we all have goals, right? We all want things in our lives, right? We want, you know, more money. We want to maybe start a business. You want to grow your business. You might even want to, you know, if you're in business, maybe you want to sell your business, right? Or maybe you want a promotion at work. You want to have a happy marriage. You want to find that special person. You want to, you know, lose weight, get in shape. So it's not just talking about money. We're talking about your whole life. But so what happens is everybody says, you know, Noah, you know, well, I want this and I want that and these are my goals. But what happens is, and one of the big problems for many people is the very next thing that they think or say is, well, I want this, but I don't think I can do it because, see, they have the goal, but then the very next thought that they think is, I can't do it because. And then dot, dot, dot. You just fill in the blank right after, you know, I can't do it because. And here's the tricky part is that everything that comes after the word because is what you believe and what you will defend to the death.
Good point.
So what's ironic about that is that, you know, when we look at our goals, that's what I call, or, you know, people ask me all the time, well, you know, what's holding me back from reaching my goals? Because I've had these goals probably for a while. You know, the people that I coach, whether it's one-on-one or group coaching, you know, they come to me and they've had their goals for a while. So it's not like it just came out yesterday or, you know, a couple of days ago. They might have had these goals for years even. So why aren't they reaching them? Well, one of the main reasons is what I've been teaching for more than 25 years, which is this phenomenon that I call head trash. So head trash is the voice in your head that says, I can't do it because.
Wow.
And then whatever comes after that word because is what you believe and will defend to the death. So here's an example. Well, Noah, this is what, you know, my clients say to me. Well, Noah, I want to make more money, but I can't do it because I don't have the time. Or, Noah, you know, I want to write a book like you've done. You know, you've written all these books. I want to write a book, but I can't do it because I don't know where to start. Or I want to do X, but I can't do it because I don't have the time or I can't afford it or my spouse won't let me or, you know, I don't have the right connections or whatever it might be, right? And this is the amazing thing is whatever you say after the word because, you always make yourself right. You always make yourself right. And we humans have an infinite capacity to make ourselves right. And this is one point, this is one area of your life. I always tell my clients this, this is one area of your life where you don't want to be right. you want to open your mind to the possibility that you're saying, I can't do it because is the very thing that is keeping you stuck. Let me give you an example. I'll give you a real life example. Mm-hmm. Now, I was talking with one of my clients. His name's Charles. Now, he had, you know, read my books and he contacted me on our website and he, you know, wanted me to coach him because he'd heard the amazing, you know, real life stories of how I've helped people double, triple, quadruple their income in record time, literally doubling their income and doubling their time off at the same time. You know, not, it's not about working harder. It's about working smarter, right? Getting these systems in place. Anyway, so he had, you know, read the stories and he's like, I want that too, right? I want you to coach me, Noah. So I asked him, I said, Charles, how much do you think it's costing you right now? How much do you think it's going to cost you if we don't take out your head trash in the next 12 months? How much do you think it's going to cost you over the next 12 months? Now, without skipping a beat, he said $1 million. I'm easily going to lose $1 million, Noah, if we don't fix this problem, if we don't get this fixed. Now, so what I said was, first of all, I hear this every day. I mean, literally every day. People contact me on our website or, you know, reach out to me on social media or email me and they say, no, you know, Noah, if I don't take out my head trash, I'm easily going to lose $10,000, $50,000, $100,000 a month. That's 6-7 figures a year. That's a lot of money that you're missing out on, right? If you don't fix this one problem. So I said, you know, it's very common, right? So that's number one. And so I said, number two, I tell you what, just give me 10% of that $1 million and I will find you $1 million in the next 12 months. In other words, if you give me $1 and I give you $10 back, is that a good deal? He said, well, yeah, that's a very good deal. So he did that. He paid me 10% of $1 million, which is $100,000. He paid me $100K,
wow,
you know, to coach him one-on-one for 12 months. Now, so I coached him. I walked him through, you know, my processes, my formulas, my fill in the blanks, checklist and everything like that. Gave him all these resources and, you know, really helped him one-on-one. Well, as it turns out, I didn't find him $1 million in the next 12 months. Instead, I found him $1.8 million in just 10 months. Exactly.
Bonus.
So I gave him $18 back.
Wow.
Is that a good deal? No, that's a great deal. So, and guess what? He actually just sent me an email recently. He said, guess where I am, Noah? I'm on a 7-week vacation with my wife. We just bought a new RV with all this money we've got now, right? We bought a new RV and we're taking a 7-week vacation in our new RV. We're driving around the Southeast. So not only do I have more money than ever before because of what you taught me, now I have more time than I've ever had before. So I said, you're welcome. So anyway, it was pretty amazing.
Okay, so did you have to, did he give you the other 0.8, you know?
Oh, no, that's not how it works. I mean, I was fine, you know, that was our deal, and it was fine. I mean, he paid me up front, so I mean, it was really nice.
Yeah,
he got a great deal. Let's face it, he got a great deal on that one.
But I
love over-delivering. That's what I do.
First of all, you had the confidence that you were going to help him. He had the confidence in you.
Yes.
He made a huge commitment.
Yes.
To pay up front.
Yes.
I thought people, you know, you said people at a class, how many, I can make you $1 million. Who wants to make $1 million? Everybody put their hand up. Say, okay, I'm going to charge $100,000. Their hands come down.
Right.
And you go, well, I just told you I could make $1 million. And now you don't even want to try.
Right.
So they're not willing to make that commitment. And what I'm listening to you, these are people who have got to that aha moment, or they've made that shift because they can see that success in you because you were on the same path. So they believe you.
Yes. Well, so, and let's face it, I have 25 years of thousands of case studies to prove it. And I just want to, Doug, if I may, I just want to jump off on that point, because one of the things that I see here in this industry, I'm talking about the personal and business growth industry, which has happened over the last few years, is a disturbing trend. And I call it having personality-driven success versus system-driven success. Now, what I mean by that is, whenever you go on social media and you see all these gurus, and all they're doing is they're showing, you know, look how cool I am, and here's my boat, and here's my helicopter, and here's my private jet, and aren't I amazing? And yeah, you're amazing, but have you helped anyone else make any money, or have you helped anyone else reach their goals?
What's in it for me? I can see what's in it for you. You're charging me a big fee. What are you going to do for me? The question
today
is, I'm going to do it for you. I love it.
Right. And see, that's the difference between personality-driven success and system-driven success. So what I teach that's different is a system. And the reason that you know it's a system is because it works for anybody. That's why, you know, when you go to my website, whether you go to noahstjohn.com or breakthroughwithnoah.com, that's another of our sites where you can actually see, you know, dozens of these case studies. I'd rather brag about my clients than me. Because if I'm only bragging about me, then it's like, well, great, you know, you've made a lot of money. Who cares, right? No, it's the point is that it's a system. Once you just follow the steps, it's plug and play, fill in the blank, paint by numbers. That means anybody can do it, and that's why the system works, so you don't have to work so hard.
Makes perfect sense to me.
We're not taking phone calls tonight on the Global Village Radio Show. Instead, we've got a pre-recorded interview from earlier this week between Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Dr. Noah St. John.
We're so glad you tuned in tonight to the Global Village Radio Show with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. We'll be back in just a few moments.
One of the most poignant topics of discussion in today's world is the evidence of earthly changes and what began as what the media called global warming. Did you know our Global Village host wrote the most detailed predictive book about the future of our planet? The New Earth is a book that drills down to specific events, many of which have already come true, but much more than severe weather patterns, seismic eruptions, the New Earth tells us how to prepare and understand how societies and governments will be forced to accommodate these future events. Originally published as The New Renaissance, the updated manuscript is one of Dr. Douglas Cottrell's best-selling books. Pole shift, coastal and inland changes, volcanoes and earthquakes, rising temperatures, specific landmass changes, healing our emotional health during these changes, and so much more. Go to DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com. That's DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com for immediate access to your printed copy of The New Earth. For many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who, just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at The New Age Health Guide. On sale now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com.
Welcome back to the Global Village Radio Show with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and tonight's guest, Dr. Noah St. John, known as the father of affirmations and the mental health coach to the stars. He's helping people in business and everyday life to change beliefs by focusing on what is good and right about yourself instead of what you perceive to be bad and wrong. His website is noahstjohn.com. That's noahstjohn.com. Noah is famous for helping people to make more money in just 12 weeks than they made in 12 months. He has appeared on over 1,000 media outlets and is a keynote speaker worldwide. Now, back to our interview with Dr. Noah St. John, with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, on the Global Village Radio Show.
In my life, I'm 70 plus years old now, I've found that people have a lot of good ideas. They're hardworking. They want to succeed. They get past the because part. Yeah, this is what's holding me back. They kind of deal with that. But they get to that point, and I think you're addressing a little bit, and what you offer them is to help reduce the fear of success.
What do you Absolutely. Think about- and that was what I was facing, you know, when I discovered this. That's why my first book was called Permission to Succeed. It wasn't how to succeed, because one of the epiphanies that I had was I realized that, you know what? We don't need more how to succeed books or how to succeed training. We've had a million gajillion of those, but what's missing for most people is something they don't even know they're missing. And that is, no one has actually showed them how to give themselves permission to succeed, like to allow yourself to succeed. So that's one thing that makes my coaching different from everybody else, because they're teaching the how-tos, and there's nothing wrong with how-tos. I mean, if you want to do something, you need to know how to do it, right? But here's the problem. So many people have spent tens of thousands of dollars on all the how-tos of success, and yet they're still hitting that, as I call it, their income ceiling. They keep bashing their head on that income ceiling, and no matter how hard they work, they're still hitting their head on the ceiling. Let me get, if I may, I'll give you another quick example of that. So I was speaking at an event in Los Angeles to about 1,000 entrepreneurs. And these are, you know, multiple six, seven, and eight figure earners, you know, very successful people, men and women. And I was, you know, teaching really what I'm sharing right now, right on this program. So I just finished speaking. I was walking off the stage and a man came up to me out of the audience and he said, Noah, I want you to coach me. You are the coach that I've been looking for. He said that. Now, I didn't know this man from Adam. Ironically, his name was Adam. And so I said, oh, okay, well, what's going on? He said, Noah, you know, my company, I'm the CEO of this company. I own this company, and we are at seven figures in income. But we've been stuck at seven figures for the last 4 years. And he said, I have thrown so much money at this problem to try to grow the business, you know, to get over that income ceiling. And he said, as soon as I heard you speak, as soon as I heard you talk about affirmations and, you know, head trash and everything you just said, he said, I knew that you were the coach I've been looking for. So he literally hired me on the spot.
Wow.
You know, basically like Charles did. I mean, so that's why I love working with high achievers, because they make decisions, you know, quickly and firmly. They don't dilly-dally. They don't mess around. They just make the decision and they take action, right? So anyway, I coached him for about a year and a half with Adam. Well, in that year and a half, his company went from being stuck at seven figures for the previous 4 years to over $20 million in sales, a 600% increase in less than 2 years. And it was all because I showed him the things that those guys didn't show him, you know, that he'd spent all that money on. And that story has repeated itself 1,000 times. You know, people come to me after they've gone to all the gurus, only to find out they can't teach their way out of a paper bag. You know, there's nothing there. And it's like, ah, so that's where I was. And that's where so many people find themselves. So, you know, I help people who are in that exact situation, who are tired of hitting their income ceiling and tired of, frankly, going to gurus who really don't have anything to say.
Yeah, I don't mean to be, you know, condescending, but some of those gurus are regurgitating the same old, same old, same old. And to hear you talk today, it's refreshing.
Oh, thank you.
I love the word of affirmations, where you're forming a plan.
That's right.
But also you're motivating these people from your own background, I guess. But when you have somebody, when you're, you know, let me say, assessing where they are, you must be able to see that they're making a few basic mistakes that are just oblivious to them. They're just like standout mistakes. Can you give us an example of something that somebody could obviously say in their life? Like, you know, every time I come with a good idea, for example, I go and I tell my best friends, and they all tell me it'll never work. And then 6 months later, somebody else is doing what I came up with.
That's right.
What have you got to say about that?
Well, I have always said, to my clients that when you have an idea, you know, let's say for a book or for a new business or a product or service, that idea is like an egg, okay? Mm-hmm. And an egg is very fragile, right? And so is your new idea. And so you don't want to take your egg and just toss it to anybody, and you don't even know if they're going to be able to catch it, let alone take care of it. So you've got to be very protective of your egg, of your idea, okay? And so the point is you've got to find a supportive mentor or coach, someone who believes in you, number one, and number two, is willing to offer you honest feedback. Now, in my case, you know, I have 25 years of experience, you know, making every mistake in the book. You know, I've made millions and I've lost millions. So I've made every mistake, and I've got the arrows in my back to prove it. You know, there's that old saying, pioneers get all the arrows. Well, I've got all the arrows in my back to prove it. And so, you know, I'll give you an example. Now, we have a group coaching program called the 12-Week Breakthrough, where I help people literally make more in just 12 weeks than they did in the previous 12 months. While actually winning their lives back, winning back 1 to 3 hours per day and 4 to 8 weeks per year. And by the way, you can learn more about that at breakthroughwithnoah.com. And you can learn how I do that at breakthroughwithnoah.com. And actually even schedule a breakthrough consultation with me or one of my coaches there at breakthroughwithnoah.com. Now, one of my clients that I'm working with currently right now, actually, her name's Catherine, and she is an entrepreneur in Pennsylvania. And so she came to me and she was very frustrated because she'd spent all this money on all the gurus. You know, it's the same story we hear every single time. And, you know, she heard me on a program like this, or a friend recommended me to her. You know, she was referred by a friend. And so she joined my 12-week breakthrough. And at first, you know, it was like kind of breaking through the ice because she'd had a lot of, you know, negative experiences like most of us. And, but she did the homework, you know, she did her work. She followed my instructions and just, you know, kept filling in the blanks and following the checklist. Well, in week seven, all right, so 7 weeks, I got an email from her and it said, guess what, Noah, using your methods, I just raised over $185,000 in private money in one day. Wow. In one day, I raised $185,000. And she said, now, because you believed in me, now I believe in me for the first time. Isn't that a wonderful story?
Oh,
so $185,000 in one day. I mean, hello, that's called 10X return on her investment and more.
You know, this is amazing to hear these stories about people who come from a dark place. Arrows in your back, stripes on your back, I would call it. But you know.
Yeah, it hurt, man. It hurt. It wasn't any fun, believe me. And I wish it would have gone a lot faster. But, you know, now, I mean, what I always say to my clients is my pain is your gain.
Well, you know, the world's not a nice place. Part of that, I'm sure, coaching, if I can call it that, or your revelations to people is, when somebody knocks you down, how to get up. Your friends might turn into friendly enemies. You might be betrayed. Somebody might steal from you. Those are all the, let's say, the little rocks and pitfalls along the same path. But you know, I always encourage people to go ahead from my perspective, from your perspective. As people take these steps, do you like say, watch out, or do you say like, you know, like, when you get to these points, this is how you go around the problem. You don't try to, you know, let the problem stop you. I'm just thinking of my own personal life in, sometimes in the past. Mm-hmm. It seems like when you have a really good idea, you're the force of light and the force of darkness, you have this push-pull back and forth. Mm-hmm. I would think that would be something that you would address and that your clients would learn how to, you know, go around it rather than to confront it.
Well, here's how I have been teaching it for a long time. And one of the things that I say to my clients is when you allow yourself to succeed to a higher level than you've ever done before, it is inevitable that people are going to criticize you.
Yes.
It is absolutely going to happen. So one of the things that stops many people from allowing themselves to succeed is the fear of criticism, right? Oh, what if I do this and then, you know, people criticize me, people don't like it, or they call me names or whatever that might be. And so here's what I say to my clients. I don't want you to be afraid of criticism, and I don't want you to let the fear of criticism stop you. And the reason for that is because it's an absolute guarantee that you'll get criticized. So it's like being afraid of the sun coming up tomorrow. It's going to happen, right? So let's not be afraid of it. Let's just accept it. Now, that doesn't mean it's any fun. It's always going to be painful, right? Criticism is never fun. Criticism always hurts, especially, you know, like you mentioned, when it's from a friend or a so-called friend, somebody that was close to you, and now they're either talking behind your back or because of social media, now people don't even bother to talk behind your back. They do it right in front of your face or to your face on social media.
Yeah,
there actually is a term for that, which is called the online disinhibition effect. So the online disinhibition effect, I just was actually writing about this in one of my upcoming books, is that that's what it does is, you know, in other words, if you're face to face with somebody, they're probably not going to be that jerky and mean to you. But because they are behind this wall of so-called anonymity called the internet, they just start writing whatever the heck they want without fear of reprisal. And so one of the things that I coach my clients through is saying, hey, you know what? That's absolutely going to happen. And this is the other thing, is that we all have heard the phrase that we are the average of the five people that we spend the most time with. So when you, let's say you join my 12-week breakthrough program, you're going to be with me and with you know, a group of supportive people who are supporting you on your journey to, you know, whatever your growth looks like. So like with Catherine, my client I was just telling you about, you know, making over $185,000 in one day, there's some people who would not be able to handle that emotionally. In fact, most people wouldn't, because they are also still in poverty consciousness. So one of the things that I'm helping people do is to transform and transcend that poverty consciousness into an abundance consciousness. Well, let's face it, most of the world is stuck in poverty consciousness. I mean, and I know that very well. I grew up in poverty consciousness. That's why I share my story. So I want people to realize I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. We didn't even have a spoon, for God's sake. So, I mean, you know, I was eating macaroni and cheese for most of my childhood. That was our meal. It was macaroni and cheese, and we were lucky to get that. So, you know, my point being is that, you know, it took years and years of hard work on myself, and I didn't have anybody helping me. That's why it took me so long. So now that's one of the reasons that I can help people get there so much faster than I did, because mm-hmm. I do it all by myself. And when you're trying to climb Mount Everest by yourself, it's pretty hard. That's why you want to have a Sherpa, somebody who's been to the top before and can show you the ways, the things to avoid. Like, don't go over there because you could fall and break your neck. You know, this is a shortcut, and it's a heck of a lot easier if you go this way.
Lovely stories. This is fantastic. You know, I had a couple other questions I was going to ask you, but as I said earlier, I'm looking over to ask you, and you answer the question. we got something.
Simpatico.
Yeah, there we go. So I love your stories.
Thank you.
People, as we get near the end of our time, you know, there are people who have great success, and then they give it away, or they can't keep it.
That's right.
I think that you lose friends along the way, because as you're going up the ladder, your mm-hmm. friends,
that's right,
they don't. And so if you don't keep on keeping on, you'll fall back into that same
that's right
dilemma.
That's so exactly.
As people keep going and they take your advice, everything you've said today, I've had personal experiences that I can relate to. And I think it's a matter that, mm-hmm. as you said, this is the way. Mm-hmm. Once you find the ceiling, once you find the weaknesses, mm-hmm. or you have somebody like yourself who is an obviously, because of your experiences yourself, I was thinking earlier, I digress a little, when you're on this side of the tracks and the people are on the other side of the tracks and you're the have not and they're the haves, I mean, that's darn hard, right? I mean, you know, but you didn't get bitter, you didn't get, you didn't get vengeful. You thought, like, I want to be there, right?
Right.
That's part of that people saying, I don't have, and it's somebody else's fault. You know, I'm poor, so I'm going to, you know, be mean. You know, the regular, what did you call it, mind trash. I love that term. I'm not going to publish it, but I'm going to tell people about it to say this is a fantastic
Thank you.
Term.
Well, I have a book specifically for that. It's called Get
That's
Rid of Your Head Trash.
Sure.
I've got a book for everything, Douglas. So anyway, sure. And this is right on our website. I won't hold up all 20 plus of my books, but
oh,
anyway,
please do.
I have a book on that.
Listen, I just love you. I think you're a guru yourself. You're a blessed man because you didn't give up. And that's the one thing I encourage people. Don't give up. Arnold Schwarzenegger once said, you know, in his accent, you know, life is going to knock you down. The success is to be able to get up.
That's right.
Other people have said that as well. And you've said it today in several different ways. But I find a lot of wisdom here, again, because you're hands-on gaining this wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge plus experience. And so with having 20 books out there, having lots of successful clients, I'm pleased to, refer people, and people listening to my program, go buy this book or a couple of books because this man has it. He's got the keys to success. So as we go through this, the last thing is, people who feel they feel guilty about their success.
Mm-hmm.
You have any comments for people who might feel that way? I hope they don't because...
Oh, no, this is very common. This is something I've been helping my clients with for over 20 years. It's very, very common. And one of the reasons that I help people double their income and double their time off and literally make more in 12 weeks than they did in the last 12 months while winning their lives back is I help them with their inner game and their outer game. Now, inner game is everything that happens between your ears that you can't see directly, but it affects everything that you do. It affects every aspect of your life. But here's the interesting thing. You can't see a belief. You can only see the effects of a belief. So that's your inner game. And then I also help people with their outer game. And that's all of the things you can see, right? That's the systems, strategies, the offers, funnels, traffic, all of the marketing and sales stuff that everybody spent or most people spent, you know, lots and lots of time and money on. But here's the interesting thing is that of that more than $3 billion that I've helped my clients make over the last 20 plus years, 95% of it came when I taught them their inner game, when I helped them master their inner game. So yes, you have to do both. You have to do the inner game and the outer game, because what happens is if you only do the inner game without the outer game, you're going to be what I call a highly evolved broke person. You're going to be like emotionally evolved and everything, but you don't have any money, right? But if you only do the outer game without the inner game, then you're going to be either, let's say you made a lot of money, you're going to sabotage it because nobody taught you how to master your inner game. Okay. So a great example of that would be Chris Farley, right? I'm sure most of us remember the wonderful comedian Chris Farley back in the 90s. And just like before him, John Belushi, right? So they both sadly died at the exact same age 33. Now, both of them, you know, were enormously successful, rich and famous, but they were both dead at the age of 33. How about Elvis Presley? Same exact thing. So I can go on and on. I mean, we can all think of, you know, dozens of examples like that. But the reason that happens, the very reason, is the thing that I fixed 25 years ago. And that's your inner game. So, you know, for the folks listening or who are saying, well, you know, I'm not rich and famous. Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. The point is, everybody, I believe, knows when they're stuck. Everybody knows when they're hitting their income ceiling. You might be hitting your income ceiling, you know, at six figures or multiple six figures or even seven figures, you know, like Adam that I talked about earlier. I mean, his income ceiling was seven figures. So it doesn't really matter how much money or you're making or not making right now. You know when you're stuck. and when you're not reaching your capabilities. And so that's what I fixed 25 years ago. And that's what I, you know, now continue to help my clients with and fix every single day, you know, using my inner game and outer game system. So you have to do both. But what's awesome is I've made it so much faster and easier for people. I mean, so much faster and easier than it was for me, like I said, because I had to figure it out from zero. And that's why it took me way too long, you know, much, much longer than I would have liked. But now I'm able to pass that on to my clients, and they're able to get that hockey stick growth in record amounts of time.
Well, I just love it. It's, you know, your pathway, you're a pathfinder, and you've been able to say, come on, everybody, follow me. This is the path.
Yes.
And for those people who are willing to take the path,
yes,
the great success is obviously there. I mean, yeah, you have the books that are written, and you continue to write more books. What do you think, this is our last question for today.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend to everybody to us as following us and who have been on our radio programs, the Global Village Radio Show, and here we are on the Zoom Global Village. Look at this man. He's talking the truth, and he has the proof, so to speak, right there for you to listen. So, I mean, basically, if people buy your books, they can go to your library, read all the books like you did, and maybe succeed on their own. But with the way the world's going and AI and, you know, the technological
mm-hmm.
improvements, the world is vastly different than mm-hmm. when I was 25 or 30. How do you see the population with all this social media and the let's call it the loving and unloving people that are out there? You addressed some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see this going in the next 5 or 10 years?
Well, AI, of course, has changed everything, as you mentioned. I look at AI as a wonderful tool. I used it, you know, pretty much as soon as it came out. And I got it on day one. You know, people are, they still ask me, you know, well, no, I don't get it. And I still see this every day on social media. I'm like, I got it on day one. I mean, I don't know. I didn't even know what people were, what the big deal was, because I'm like, oh, this is easy, you know, and people still have a lot of trouble with it. But I'm like, man, this is awesome. It's just a wonderful tool to help you bring your thoughts out into the world, you know, which is something I've been doing, yes, for 25 years more plus. But I look at ChatGPT as an example of AI, and of course, there's, you know, a million of them now. But it's just a way to take what's in your mind and just be able to get it out much, much faster and cheaper, meaning, you know, you don't need to have a big staff. You know, you don't have to have 30 people on your payroll or what have you in order to bring these things out. So it really, to me, has leveled the playing field, you know, from the big boys to you know, the little guy. And I like it. So, I mean, I love it. I've embraced it, you know, from the very beginning. And, you know, I certainly hope to continue to do that. But nevertheless, I do want, you know, for people who might be nervous or scared of it or whatever, the point is everything always comes down to, are you adding value to human beings? You must add value to human beings in order to make that thing called money. And in order to do that, you have to master your inner game and master your outer game. There's no way around those two things. So, oh, excuse me.
God bless you.
Thank you. So anyway, that's, you know, that's what I'm fortunate to do. So I don't think I'm going to be out of a job anytime soon. I don't think so. Because what I provide, I don't see AI being able to do. So that's where you want to go is. But I highly encourage people to embrace it because it ain't going away.
Okay. My guest today has been Dr. Noah St. John. He has 20 books out there right now. His 20th book is A Seven-Figure Life, How to Leverage the Four Focus Factors for More Wealth and Happiness.
Right there.
And I like that inner journey and that outer journey. And yeah, I like the term, not affirmations, but affirmations. On behalf of Paul Hughes, who has produced the show, and our co-producer, Jack, as well, I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell, and my good friend now, and the man I admire from our conversation today, I do wish you well, Noah. You are a light on the world, and you're teaching from your own background, which has absolutely got to be the truth. So with that, my friends, we'll see you next time right here on the Global Village.
Thank Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.